Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today, we have another alien episode. And as we've talked about before, we're really breaking down all the stories because there really is so many to tell. So today, we're going to be talking about the Roswell incident. So something happened in July of 1947, northwest of Roswell, New Mexico, during a severe thunderstorm. But what was this thing? Was this object that people were talking about a flying saucer? Was it a weather balloon? Was it a UFO? We don't know. But today, Shannon and I are diving into it. And we're going to give you everything that we know and what people are talking about. Shannon, how are you feeling today?
Feeling good. Excited to be back on the alien grind. And this is a story that I knew the name. I knew Roswell. I knew that was related to aliens, but I didn't know what exactly it was. I think I might have known a weather balloon situation, but the rest was all new after that. So yeah, I was excited for it.
Yeah. And I have to say, not a spoiler, but kind of just something to think about for our listeners. My tinfoil hat, I don't know where it's at.
Oh.
Yeah, like I don't feel strong. It's not that I don't feel strongly. I actually feel strongly about two of these conspiracy theories that we're going to dive into later in this episode. And I don't know. I don't know where I stand.
Well, there you have it. You'll have to stay to the end of the episode to find out.
Exactly. And I would love to know what our viewers have. So let us know on our Instagram at Bare Roots Pod. Another thing that we're doing for Bare Roots, we're switching up for season 3. We're going to spread out our episodes a little bit more. So instead of weekly every Thursday, we're going to come at you bi-weekly. So every other Thursday, we'll be here. We'll have great new content. Shannon and I are just, we have so many episodes for you guys to listen to and binge to. So don't worry, we're still continuing. It's just going to come at a little slower pace, but still consistent.
That's right. That's right. And you probably noticed this week that it was a week later than normal, but That is why. Season three is different, bi-weekly.
Exactly. We're excited. That just means more time to focus on our episodes. So just better content for you guys. So do not worry.
That's right. Okay. Speaking of which, let's get into this episode.
Let's do it.
So the day was June 14th, 1947. A rancher named W.W. Mac Brazel and his son Vernon were driving across their ranch when they encountered a large area of bright wreckage made up of rubber strips, tinfoil, and rather tough paper and sticks, end quote. They had no idea what it could be. And then they kind of waited a little bit. And on July 4th, he collected all of the mysterious wreckage he could find. On July 7th, Mac drove it all to Roswell, delivering it to Sheriff George Wilcox, who was also confounded. What could this wreckage be from? Didn't make much sense. So Wilcox contacted Colonel Butch Blanchard, who was the commander of Roswell Army Airfield's 509th Composite Group, located just outside of town. And Blanchard was also perplexed, so he contacted his superior, who was General Roger Ramey, of the 8th Air Force in Fort Worth, Texas. So we're going boss to boss to boss to boss.
Yeah. Nobody knew what this thing was and what to do.
Blanchard also got in contact with an intelligence officer named Major Jesse Marcel for him to investigate more thoroughly. On July 8th, Marcel decided to make a statement to the local press. The headline stated, RAF captures flying saucer on ranch in Roswell region. The intelligence office of the 509th Bombardment Group at Roswell Army Airfield announced at noon today that the field has come into the possession of a flying saucer. Whoa. Yeah.
This is big news. I mean, just the timeline of it all, just sharing the information, going boss to boss to boss, and then all of a sudden they are now talking about it in the press. So it is no longer a private matter, but a public one.
And just flat out call it a flying saucer, not a UFO, flying saucer.
Yep.
That same day, General Roger Ramey ordered the crash remains to be taken to him in Fort Worth, Texas, for his own personal inspection. So to paint the picture a little bit better, I don't think of the 40s as a UFO time, but apparently this is when UFOs and aliens got hot. They were heating up. Mm-hmm. And especially after World War II. So just in the same year, this is again 1947, on June 21st, Navy seaman Harold Dahl claimed to have seen six unidentified flying objects in the sky near Washington State's Puget Sound. The next morning, Dahl said he was sought out and debriefed by, quote, Men in Black, which I can only assume was the inspiration for the movie.
Yes, exactly. I mean, where else do you get that?
Exactly. So 3 days after this Dahl sighting, an amateur pilot named Kenneth Arnold said that he spotted a flying saucer in the sky by Mount Rainier, Washington. By the end of 1947, mass hysteria had seized the global mindset with more than 300 alleged flying saucer sightings in the last 6 months of the year alone.
Which is insane because, like you said earlier, I do not have any correlation to the mid-40s being this flying saucer type of environment.
Right. So by early July of 1947, which is when all of this goes down in Roswell, Brazel, who's again the rancher, he had heard plenty of tales of flying saucers in the Pacific Northwest, and the sightings spurred him to show his discovery to authorities because maybe he wouldn't have done anything about it. You know, like, oh, this is weird. It fell from the sky. I don't know. But yeah, because of all these stories, he's like, hey, I'm going to tell the authorities just in case. But just one day after they said they saw a flying saucer in the newspaper, the day after, it got debunked in the newspaper as well.
Immediately.
It's like, oh, no, we didn't. Yep. So the record stops. So a published statement from the War Department in Washington claimed that the debris on Brazel's ranch was the remains of a weather balloon, and that that morning headline stated, Army debunks Roswell flying disc as world simmers with excitement.
Imagine being from a sleepy town and you get an article like that.
Yeah.
Like the chatter in the town must have been insane.
The article did include an interview with Brazel, who did not believe that the debris he discovered was from a weather balloon. So the guy who discovered it was like, I don't think so. And the authorities were like, no, it's just a weather balloon. It's fine. But it's just insane to me that that first headline was even released, and that was by the intelligence officer. So, like, what are you doing, guy? Why are you telling them there's a flying saucer when there, quote unquote, isn't one? Do you think he got reprimanded?
Yeah. Like, is this the time when we thought sharing, not secrets necessarily, but just sharing any and all information to the public was A-okay?
Right. Was public or trust in the common man better?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't just put out a headline saying that there was flying saucer. At least put a UFO. A flying saucer means aliens.
Yeah.
So even though that article came out immediately, and it theoretically debunked it, that didn't stop alien theories from coming about. So there would be a report from a year later from the government about what was now being called the Roswell incident. So now it's an incident. And the UFO sightings just kind of continued after that. However, the Roswell incident died down after this point until about the 70s. So in February of 1978, UFO researcher Stanton Friedman interviewed Jesse Marcel, who is the guy who said, "We got a flying saucer."
Mm-hmm.
And he did not believe it was a weather balloon. He said, "It felt like you had nothing in your hands. It wasn't any thicker than the foil out of a pack of cigarettes. But the thing about it that got me is that you couldn't even bend it. You couldn't deny it. Even a sledgehammer would bounce off it. I knew that I had never seen anything like it before."
This is just so interesting because here you have someone who has seen it, and he's not just saying, "Oh, this is a flying saucer. Oh, this is such a foreign object. I don't know what it is." He's really describing it to us, and it's fascinating.
Friedman's investigation also led to many others, both military and private, who had information to add to the Roswell incident story. So, stepping into the picture very strongly in the late 1980s were Don Schmidt, Kevin Randall, and Tom Carey. Since then, Schmidt and Carey have dedicated their research to Roswell. In 1979, Marcel's first filmed interview was featured on the documentary called UFOs Are Real. And then in 1980, a tabloid brought large-scale attention to the Marcel story. And, quote, "They wanted some comments from me, but I wasn't at liberty to do that. So all I could do was keep my mouth shut." And General Ramey is the one who told the newspapers, I mean the newsman, what it was, and to forget about it. It is nothing more than a weather observation balloon. Of course, we both knew differently. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
The accounts given by Friedman and the others in the following years elevated Roswell from the forgotten incident to probably the most famous UFO case of all time. And Marcel gave a final interview in HBO's America Undercover, which aired in August of 1985. In all of his statements, Marcel consistently denied the presence of bodies because there was a theory that bodies were also found at the crash site and they were taken away. So since all of this, Roswell, the town, has been cashing in on the alien craze basically since it happened. The town was home to the International UFO Museum and Research Center, which I think is just funny. Like, what is this research center?
Yeah.
And even the local Walmart got into it with decorating its walls and front windows with, you know, aliens. Roswell's civic seal has a rendering of an alien. And the exterior of the local McDonald's has enough spacecraft-based accessories to look like a ship preparing to take off. So they really, it's like, I'm picturing it like the town Hershey in Pennsylvania, but aliens, you know?
I was thinking of Loch Ness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, cashing in the whole Loch Ness moment.
Of course. And, you know, it's still being talked about to this day. In an interview, former President Donald Trump said it's a quote, "It's a very interesting place." So, okay, cool.
So it's like, I guess even the most recent presidents are looking into this file. What does that mean?
Well, is he just saying that the town Roswell is a very interesting place? Because I'm sure it is if it has all of this.
Oh, no. Talking about the whole Roswell incident.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was an interview and they asked, like, are you going to declassify? What do you know about this whole, you know, Roswell incident? And all he said was, it's a very interesting place.
Well,
interesting.
Interesting. So that's what's on record. It's allegedly just this is what's on record up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
But then things got declassified and information was told. So that is one of the conspiracy theories, but we will get into that after a word from our sponsors.
And we are back. So let's dive into some of the theories. So as we know already, technically we have an answer, quote unquote, But that doesn't stop people from chattering about the possibilities of these three theories we're going to get into. The first theory is on Project Mogul. So what is Project Mogul? It was this classified program that the U.S. government launched, and essentially they had high altitude balloons in that they would throw into the ionosphere, hoping to monitor Russian nuclear tests. So we just need to remember that time period. We are currently post-World War II. We are in the Cold War. This is an arms race. Not only are we, you know, fighting in the space land, if you will, but also is very, very touchy with the whole nuclear subject. So their whole idea was that how can we get some sort of device to listen to overhear the Russians? And this was kind of like one of their ideas.
Yeah, I think it was to test the air. They were just making sure, they wanted to know if the Russians were making nukes. So they would put these balloons way up in the atmosphere and fly them over. And there was something on the balloons that would detect if there was nuclear activity or something. I don't know if they were actually listening in, but it had to do with that.
Exactly. And it was in a super high altitude, and it stretched from over 650 feet from the tip to the tail, and is 102 feet taller than the Washington Monument and twice as tall as the Statue of Liberty.
So that's, you can insane. Really
only imagine the size of this thing. Yeah. And it was conducted out of Washington, D.C., as one may suspect, and the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico, with some high-altitude balloon launches taking place in the high desert near the state's border with Texas. Now, I haven't been there, but I can only imagine the scene where it's just open land. You have, like, all this ground to really make all these tests without a lot of people knowing about it.
Right.
And as the balloons rode on the upper jet stream towards Russia, a long tail equipped with different types of sensing and listening devices trailed behind. So there was a quote from Roger Lanius, who was a recently retired curator of space history at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. Man, that is a long title. but, quote, obviously something happened to this one balloon. It came back to Earth and probably was spread across a wide area. So that's where this whole theory is. It's like, oh, it was not a flying saucer. People didn't know about it because it was a classified object. And like the best way to describe it, which it kind of was this hot air balloon type thing. And that was like the easiest thing to grasp. And so there was an oopsie from this mission where these people from Roswell had found it, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And although much of the documentation about Project Mogul has now been declassified, Lania says that the civilian access to information failed to stop the lure of extraterrestrial life. So there's like a little bit of something, something. Air Force report published in 1997 claimed that, quote, stories of alien bodies probably stem from test dummies being dropped from the high altitude. So this is where the theory of like, oh, we saw some bodies and like aliens, but maybe it could have been the dummies. So a rumor had started as a convenient lie for the Air Force had become a distraction to the U.S. government, which was now deep into its nuclear weapons monitoring projects. Quote, but there was no way the Air Force was going to admit what it was doing, you know, which definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
And they said apparently it was better for the Air Force's perspective that there was a crashed, quote, alien spacecraft out there than to tell the truth. A flying saucer was easier to admit than Project Mogul. And he kind of laughed in this interview. And with that, we were off to the races. It's almost like a Pandora's box, I felt like. Like, they thought, okay, we can't obviously talk about Project Mogul. That is classified. People aren't going to get it. But let's make it spicy. Let's make it fun. Let's say it's a flying saucer. So that's probably where they got that idea. And then it just kind of took on a world of its own, which is funny because then it was immediately debunked one day after. So I guess they realized, I feel like somebody higher up was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
This is not good.
This is not the way to do it. Don't tell about Project Mogul, but don't say it's a flying saucer, you idiot.
Exactly. So it was after the closing of World War II that truth-telling was not a priority, and there were remarkably unusual events underscoring the situation at hand. And again, he was saying, quote, UFOs are exactly that. They're unidentified objects seen in the air, but that's not extraterrestrial. UFOs aren't unusual. They're simply unidentified things you see in the sky. We've all probably seen them. And if you look long enough, you'll probably eventually figure out what it is you're looking at. It's not extraterrestrial. So he's trying to justify the definition of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, the documents from January of 1947 to October of 1947 were gone, and the person and or the organization that had destroyed these files and the authority under which they had been done so were not indicated.
Yikes.
So, you know, it's the name of the game, you know, something suspicious happens, and of course, where does all the evidence go? It's gone.
Out the window.
Yep, so we no longer have any proof. We just have these stories of people working on the project, and, you know, we just have to take what they say, essentially. So, Shannon, where is your tinfoil hat on Project Mogul? And that it being, yeah, it was a hot air balloon or, you know, some sort of thing, but it was actually a little bit more detailed than that.
My tinfoil hat is in the coronation stage for this one. I think it makes sense that they couldn't tell us what it was until after it was declassified, because you didn't want the Russians to know what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a little confused about a few things. For instance, the test dummies? Why were there test dummies in these? Like, what? Why do they need to be in there? I just don't really get that.
Mm-hmm. Were you guys going to put people there? Like, what? I don't understand. It never seemed like the type of project where humans were going to be attached to this thing.
Right. And they were using, yeah, I don't know. I thought they were using the balloons. These weren't tests. They were being, it was actually being done. Mm-hmm. But also the description of the material and how it was super thin but also super strong. I don't really understand that and how that's something we could have made. But I also don't know if I believe him. I don't know, because he would have been old by the time he gave that interview. So I don't know, like, is he just making it up? Not sure. I think it checks off a lot of boxes. That's why it's in the coronation stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have some questions. How about you?
I agree with you. I think it's in the coronation stage for me. I think this definitely makes sense. Let's, you know, put it on a secret project that we had no idea about. And when it comes to, I feel like, government or military related things, I feel like the technology is so advanced that we can't even process or fathom it. So to the normal, you know, or the average Joe, it's going to seem like so intense. But yeah, like, it's, I can understand why they couldn't talk about it. So it now coming into light, I think this does make sense. But it just seems so, I don't know. I don't know if it's because it was this secret project, no one knew about it, or was it true? Like, was this object or material really something that people have never seen? They're just baffled by.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. And this leads to our second one, which, you know, you may laugh, but could be true. And that is aliens, of course.
Of course, this is the theory. You know, that's what people have been saying since it happened.
Exactly. So this was the most evident at Area 51, an off-limits airstrip and aircraft engineering and development facility inside the Nevada test site. So if you haven't heard our Area 51 episode and you want to learn a little bit more about that, highly recommend it. It was rumored that aliens from the Roswell spacecraft and other crashed ships were either being autopsied or slid into cylindrical glass tanks containing gel-like preservatives. And I'm picturing movies, you know, like classic scene where these aliens are in these tanks and they're just like floating and they have like all these computers around and whatnot. And apparently this is where they're all located. So Brazel admitted that the crash site was likely a UFO, but tried to retract. And people noticed that shortly after his new statement that Brazel had purchased a new pickup truck and left his job as a ranger to start a business in another place in New Mexico. And people think that Brazel was also detained by the military, and the public was told not to talk about it. So basically, this man got like hush-hush money, essentially. Like, don't talk about it. Don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. We'll give you some money. And like, it just seems interesting though, with a series of events, like, oh, how did you get this nice new truck? And like, now you're leaving town? Like, why? This makes no sense. And if I feel like it's for a small town, like, you're more likely to stay there, especially if you're in your adult years.
Right.
So the fact that he's just like, picking up and going, does he know something that we don't know? Aliens?
Is it aliens?
Where is your tinfoil hat? Like, on the idea that it truly is something extraterrestrial.
I think it's on the shelf, but I'm right next to the shelf. I don't know. I feel like most things are a little bit less magical than we want them to think, or we want them to be. And so I just feel like, again, the unclassified or the classified project makes more sense. And even though we blow it out of proportion, we want aliens, we want this to be aliens, we want the excitement, it probably was just being boring and it was just spy balloons. But I'm standing next to the shelf because, again, those questions, you know, it could, it's not impossible. How about you?
I think my tinfoil hat is in my hands. Like, these two theories are the ones that I'm battling. Like, the rational part of me is like, yeah, definitely makes sense. Like, it's part of the project. But then the more, I don't know, the curious me, if you will, is definitely like, alien, something crazy. I don't know. I just feel like if we as a society all believe that aliens exist, what's to say that this thing isn't from another place? I don't know. And we all don't have answers, but like, that is a really good cover up and a good answer, because the rational part of us, like me and you right now, we're saying, oh yeah, it was part of the project. So it's so easy to grasp. But then the other side of me is like, maybe it really could be evidence.
Yeah, I guess if we found out tomorrow that it was aliens, I wouldn't be shocked. You know?
It would be something I feel like we can all agree on. I don't know. It's almost like what you were saying earlier. It's like, oh, it's like to romanticize, like, aliens.
Yeah.
Like, could this be? I feel like I just need to have my door open for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to close the door just in case it does turn out.
Exactly. And I feel like there's also, I think we need to upgrade our questions, right? Like, do you believe in aliens? Okay. I think it's good to think, okay, like, if you say yes, which I feel like at this day and age, a lot of people do, like, oh, if you really think that we're the only people out here, then you're crazy. But let's bring it up a notch by saying, like, have aliens come down to Earth? And, like, could this be the evidence? Have they contacted us? Not just exist, but to have made a little pit stop along the way. I don't know. That's the question. That's why I got to keep my door open.
Yeah. That is the question. Sorry, I'm distracted because there's a bug on my floor that's just doing circles. And I'm like, how are you just walking in a circle? Why? What's wrong with you?
It's so funny because I can see you and I can see you dazing off. Like,
what is going on?
What are you looking at?
And as you know, everybody, I recently moved. So it's a whole new world.
It's a dazzling new place.
With bugs doing sermons on my bedroom floor. Fantastic.
Yeah, isn't it a thing, like, if a skunk does that, or like a fox, it's like something bad has happened to it?
What?
You know what I'm talking about? Like, it has like rabies or something.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It does that in a circle.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's Maybe that's what your bug
has. I really hope the bug doesn't have rabies. It's doing it more. It's a tight circle.
It's like a fly-looking bug?
It's on the ground. I don't know what it is. It's too far away to tell. It is small. Gross. Okay, I'll deal with that after.
I was going to say, do you want to take care of it now? Should we put a pause on the story?
No. I'll deal with it. I'll keep an eye on it. What were we saying? Yeah, no, I am on the fence about if they've been here, because in my mind, they totally could not be here, if that makes any sense. Because it takes so much to travel between planets. Just because there's something else out there doesn't mean they have to get here.
Right.
Think about how many millennia we've gone through with life on Earth and we haven't gotten past the moon physically.
Yeah.
So it's not something that I think needs to happen, interplanetary travel. But sure, I guess it could.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. Alrighty, so everyone, think about it, you know, use your minds, critical thinking. What do you think about my question? And last but not least, we have the theory of the Russian plan for mass paranoia.
Ooh.
So maybe it was an unconventional plan to induce widespread American panic implemented by Joseph Stalin. Again, we are in the era of the Cold War, and playing with your psyche, it's a strong tactic.
So this is baby Cold War.
Exactly.
Early stages.
So, unnamed source who worked as an engineer at Area 51 for the defense contractor EG&G said that the program had been designed by Nazi concentration camp doctor Joseph Mengele. And according to the source, adolescent children were deformed by the Soviets to resemble aliens and then deployed in an aircraft to fly over New Mexico. So Stalin's quote plan was for the children to climb out and be mistaken for visitors from Mars, and then panic would ensue, and later America's early warning radar system would be overwhelmed with sightings of other UFOs. So that theory could go some way in explaining the wreckage described by Jesse Marcel Jr., the son of the intelligence officer named in the initial press report. Because according to Marcel Jr.'s book, The Roswell Legacy, his father brought some of the UFO wreckage home, allowing his son to handle the debated debris before he took it to his base. Marcel Jr. wrote that the material is metallic and, quote, I could see what it looked like in writing. At first, I thought of Egyptian hieroglyphics, but there were no animal outlines or figures. They weren't mathematical figures either. They were more like geometric symbols, squares, circles, triangles, pyramids, and the like. And Marcel Jr. was only 11 at that time, and so the Cold War was just beginning. So could the boy have read the Cyrillic, which is basically the Russian alphabet, for the first time, allowing his imagination to kind of do the rest? You know, like this is a skewed memory. So, quote, there's no evidence in any Soviet archives that there were such experiments as this. And if the intent was to generate panic, it failed utterly miserably. So that's an interesting one. Was this designed to just scare the Americans, shake them up a little bit, cause some drama, or not? Shin, what do you think? Where's your tinfoil hat on this?
It's on the shelf. It just seems a bit of a reach to put adolescents through, or, you know, deform adolescents just to make us scared and not even do a good job at it.
Yeah, it's an interesting tactic.
Yeah.
I like if you're going to scare the Americans with mass paranoia, like UFOs. And also, not only that, but when you look at Russia and where it is in the map, like, why New Mexico? Like, not the coasts?
Yeah, that's a long way.
It's a long way. It's a very random location.
Yeah, I was interested by this theory just because it came out. I did not expect that one. It kind of came out of nowhere, threw me for a loop. Who knew? Mm-hmm. But I guess it shouldn't, because almost every, you have like aliens in every theory. And then if it's at this period of time, it's also the Russians are, you know,
yes,
clearly at fault.
Yes, exactly. If it's not aliens, it's the Russians.
So I'm going to say a no for that one, personally.
Same here. I got to agree with you. It's definitely on the shelf for me, my tinfoil hat. It's such a stretch. I can see where they're trying to go with this, but I think the other theories, and even the alien one, it has a little bit more credibility to me than this one.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's too much time, too much money, too much energy.
Yes, exactly.
Very embarrassing
outcome.
Yeah.
Yes. Alrighty, that is today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed this alien edition. So don't worry, you guys all know there are so many alien stories out there, so we'll be tackling them one by one. So stay tuned for our next episode. Like we said, we'll see you not in 2 weeks, and pretty soon it'll be spooky season, Shan. So be sure to subscribe, like, and follow us on any of the streaming platforms you listen to, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Audioboom, whatever. And also be sure to keep up with us on Instagram at BareRootsPod, B-A-R-E. And we'd love to see you there as well. Be sure to tell a friend about us, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.